Hey everyone, welcome to the Ohio Family on the Run podcast, a podcast about family, travel, running,
and the paranormal.
Join us each week as we discuss our family adventures, races, running,
and ghost hunting.
We're your hosts, Scott
and Christina.
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Ohio Family on the Run podcast. Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Season's Greetings, whichever one of those you prefer. This is our first Christmas episode, and we have decided it is going to be a two-parter. The first one is going to be Christmas Around the World, The Nice List. But before we get started with that, instead of our normal coffee, we decided for the holidays we do something a little slightly different this week. So what are we drinking this week?
Hot chocolate with marshmallows and whipped cream.
Yeah, doing some change-up. Figure it'd be a little bit special for the holidays this year. So, my whipped cream is already melting. I mean, it's hot chocolate, so I mean, I have whipped cream all over my nose. So, anyways, this week we're going to start with, we're going to be talking about different nice things and different unique traditions from around the world. We chose a couple different countries, but before we get started on doing the countries, we thought that I would give some facts about Christmas. So first off, the origin of Christmas can be traced back to ancient pagan celebrations as Dies Sol Invictus, which was observed on December 25th, the Calends, which was January 1st to the 5th, and Saturnalia, which is December 17th to the 23rd. The Christian church disproved of these festivals and co-opted the holidays by declaring December 25th as Jesus' birthday. So, not getting into religion, not getting into politics, but the reality is...
It was pagan?
It is a pagan, yes. Most theologians will tell you now that Jesus was not born on December 25th. If you go biblically, by a lot of the history in there, it was born more in the springtime. However, when the church was trying to gain its power and gain more recognition, they decided to ingrain and incorporate a lot of the already pagan holidays and make them into Christian holidays, since a lot of the people were already celebrating those days, so they could kind of just change it and alter it somewhat to try and get more followers. But like I said, not debating a lot of things. Everybody has their own opinions and beliefs on it, and that's okay. It's okay to have different opinions, and we all have different, you know, viewpoints on things, and it's okay. We can still get along and love each other no matter what. That's what it's all about. So, second, mistletoe was held sacred by the Norse, the Celtic Druids, and Native American Indians because it remains green and bears fruit during the winter when other plants seem to die. Druids thought the plant had the power to cure infertility and nervous diseases and to ward off evil.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Never knew that.
Long before there were traditional Christmas trees, the pagans revered evergreens as symbols of eternal life and rebirth. Because of their pagan associations, holly, ivy, and other evergreen boughs conventionally used for holiday home decorations were banned by the 6th century Christian Council of Braga. So a lot of things that you do now wasn't so acceptable back in the day.
Wow.
Pope Julius I, the Bishop of Rome, originally proclaimed December 25th the official celebration day for Jesus' birthday back in 350 A.D., the city of Riga, Latvia, holds the claim as the home to history's first decorated Christmas tree, and it was in 1510.
Really?
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
The midwinter festival of the Yule has been celebrated by the Germanic people since at least the 4th century. Yule, which is also called winter solstice, is the longest night of the year and the time of great darkness. Some scholars believe the word Yule means revolution or wheel, symbolizing the cyclical return of the sun. King Hakon I of Norway rescheduled the date of Yule to coincide with Christian celebrations held at the time. This is a very interesting one. It's only... Scotland has historically made a much bigger deal of celebrating Hogmanay, which is the last day of the year, a.k.a. New Year's Eve, than Christmas. In fact, the latter holiday, Christmas, was banned by the country's parliament for more than 300 years and was only made legal again in 1958.
Holy cow.
Yep. The Grinch who Scrooged Scotland out of Christmas was 16th century minister John Knox, leader of the Reformation and founder of the Presbyterian Church of Scotland. He believed Christians should only celebrate holidays mentioned in the Bible. So Christmas was strongly discouraged starting in 1583, and it was officially prohibited by law in 1640.
Wow.
Find the pickle. A pickle-shaped ornament hidden somewhere on the Christmas tree with the person who finds it getting an extra present is a common American Christmas tradition. I've never
heard of that.
Okay, so you're from the Midwest, Ohio. You've never heard of that. I'm from the Pacific Northwest originally. I've never heard of that. Not saying that other people haven't, but that's a weird one. Anyways, but though it's mistakenly believed to be an old German tradition, nobody seems to know how the Christmas pickle tradition started. One myth involves a Civil War soldier of Bavarian origin who had been imprisoned by the enemy. He begged the guard for one last pickle before he died, and it gave him the will to carry on. Another myth involves St. Nicholas rescuing two boys from a pickle barrel. But the truth is that the legend was most likely started by retailers selling glass ornaments imported from Germany. The town of Berrien Springs, Michigan, holds a pickle festival every year in December.
Really?
Yeah. People in Iceland will often exchange books on Christmas Eve. Then they spend the rest of the night reading them and eating chocolate. The tradition is part of a season called, and I'm going to mess this up because I'm just going to say it's called the Christmas Book Flood. As a result, Iceland publishes more books per capita than any other country, selling most of them between September and November. How much do you know about Santa?
Not very much.
So early illustrations of Santa Claus pictured him as a stern, commanding disciplinarian holding a birch rod. The jolly old elf we know and love today was created by artist Hayden Sundblom for a Coca-Cola ad.
Really?
Yep.
So it started with Coca-Cola.
So the current one, what you see now is the jolly rotund guy with the, yeah. Everybody loves fruitcake, right? No, nobody loves fruitcake. The Egyptians did. Fruitcake originated in ancient Egypt, where it was considered essential for the afterlife. Now, that one just kind of blows me away because nobody likes fruitcake.
Yeah,
it's like the gift you can never give away. Roast turkey didn't appear consistently on Christmas Day menus until 1851, when it replaced roast swan as the favorite dish of the royal courts. You make a turkey, right? Well, we normally do turkey for Thanksgiving, and we do a ham for Christmas. But a lot of people do turkeys or have different traditions and whatnot.
It's all depending on your tradition. Yeah.
So winning the award for the longest preparation time for a meal, Greenland's traditional Christmas dish, kvæg, takes a full 7 months to prepare.
7 months?
Yeah.
That's insane.
It begins, well, it's insane, but it's even more insane. And God bless their souls for Greenland, because the dish does not sound appetizing to me. It begins with hollowing out a seal skin and stuffing it with 500 ox, which is a seabird, feathers and all, to ferment. When the holiday rolls around, it's served straight from the seal.
This is gross.
Yeah, I know. Hey, to each their own, God bless them. Christmas pudding was originally more than just a tasty treat. Small items such as coin, which represented wealth, and buttons, which represented bachelorhood, were put inside and supposedly foretold what the new year would bring. On Christmas Eve in Poland, dinner cannot begin until the first star appears in the night sky, symbolizing the sight of the Star of Bethlehem. But tradition dictates that the breaking of the opatek, which is a Polish Christmas wafer, also has to happen before everyone can eat. And opatek is a thin, tasteless wafer that is typically rectangular in shape and is often embossed with a traditional Christmas symbol, such as the Nativity or the Star of Bethlehem. Once everyone is gathered around the table, each person will break off a piece of the wafer as they wish each other Merry Christmas, along with wishes for peace and prosperity. kind of cool.
Yeah.
I kind of like the idea that they don't start until, like, the first star. That's a pretty cool, that's a neat tradition. Yeah. So there's your facts about Christmas that we started off with today. Now, we are going to get into each of our different countries that we have. So I will let you start. You can start with one of yours. I have a theme with mine, and when I start with my theme, I will tell you, except for my last one. I got five, but my last one is Germany as my last one because you were going to do it, but then there was a lot of stuff that you were struggling with in it, being able to pronounce. So I said that I would do it for you. So where are you starting with us?
Japan. Christmas has only been widely celebrated in Japan for the last few decades. Still not seen as a religious holiday or celebration as there are not many Christians in Japan. Now, several customs that came to Japan from the U.S., such as sending and receiving Christmas cards and presents, are popular. In Japan, Christmas is known as more of a time to spend happiness rather than religious celebration. Christmas Eve is often celebrated more than Christmas Day. Christmas Eve is thought as a romantic day.
That's interesting.
In which couples spend together in exchange presents. In many ways, it resembles Valentine's celebrations in the UK and the US.
Really?
So it's kind of like their Valentine's Day.
So Christmas Eve is like Valentine's Day for Japan.
All right. Young couples like to go for walks, to look at Christmas lights and have a romantic meal in a restaurant, booking a table on Christmas Eve. Can be very difficult because it's so popular.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine if it's considered like their Valentine's Day, I'd imagine that it'd be almost impossible to get a restaurant.
Fried chicken is often eaten on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
Yeah, I knew that one.
It's the busiest time of the year for restaurants such as KFC, and people can place orders at their local fast food restaurant in advance.
Yeah, I did know that one about KFC being very popular over there for Christmas for some reason.
There was an advertising campaign by KFC in the 1974 called Kentucky for Christmas.
All right, well, there you go.
Which was very successful and made KFC popular for Christmas.
Yeah, well, I mean, there you go.
The traditional Japanese Christmas food is Christmas cake. It's not your rich fruitcake, but it's usually a sponge cake decorated with strawberries and whipped cream. Christmas is not a national holiday in Japan.
Okay.
Often schools are closed on Christmas because it's near the start of the New Year's break. But most businesses will treat it as a normal working day. One piece of music is especially famous around Christmas and the end of the year in Japan. Beethoven's Ninth Symphony and its final act, The Ode to Joy. Choirs all over the country sing it in German.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotta love the Japanese, man. They take a bit of everything. I love it. I mean, you gotta love the Japanese.
Hopefully I'm pronouncing this right. One choir in
Osaka
has 10,000 people in it.
Good Lord.
It is known as the number 9 chorus. It's thought it was first sung in Japan at Christmas by German prisoners of war in World War I. And over the years, it's became more and more popular.
So, it became famous because there was German POWs that were singing that song. And so, it kind of just, like, stuck with the Japanese people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of cool when you think about it, though. They always take their traditions come back from some weird stuff.
Yeah.
And unique beginnings. But it's really kind of cool. Like, the campaign.
Another proper activity of Christmas in Japan, especially in Tokyo, is Disneyland.
Oh, surprise.
Which opened in 1983 and seen all the decorations and plates. The Christmas season in Tokyo is from the second week in November until Christmas Day. On December 26th, all the Christmas decorations are gone and ready for New Year celebrations to start. New Year is a very big celebration in Japan.
I do know that New Year's is a very big celebration.
A Disney-style Christmas might have also influenced how Japanese culture celebrates Christmas as a fun and romantic time rather than religious.
I could see that.
Parties are often held for children with games and dancing. Japanese Christmas cake is a sponge cake decorated with trees, flowers, and a figure of Santa Claus. If people have Christmas decorations, they are taken down on December 25th. Then different decorations are put up for the New Year holidays. The Japanese New Year is more like a traditional Western Christmas.
Okay.
New Year is a period when families get together, have a special meal, pray, and sing greeting cards.
Oh, all right. That's why, okay.
New Year is celebrated over 5 days, from December 31st to January 4th, and it's a very busy time. Japanese children usually get one gift at Christmas, which young children believe is from Santa. During the New Year holiday, children receive gifts of money and special envelopes from their parents, grandparents, and other relatives. Japanese children very seldom give Christmas gifts to their parents, siblings, or relatives. Only some special friends exchange Christmas gifts.
Well, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
If they already consider, like, and treat their New Year's like it would how we treat our Christmas,
mm-hmm.
then I could see that they would kind of alter. For them, Christmas would be more of like Valentine's Day or a smaller get-together. But that's pretty neat.
It is pretty cool.
So I chose 4 countries because I based mine off of what is going on in the world right now and what I love. One of the biggest sports that I love the most is World Cup. And so I chose my 4 countries based upon the 4 semifinalists in World Cup. So the 4 countries that I'm doing are the 4 that are in the semifinals that are playing this week to see who goes on to play in the championship and to see who is playing for 3rd and 4th place. So the first place that I chose is Croatia, as they are somewhat of a Cinderella team in the World Cup this year. In Croatia, preparations for Christmas start on November 25th, which is St. Catherine's Day. People also celebrate Advent. Over 85% of the people in Croatia are Catholics, so Advent is an important time for them. It's traditional to have an Advent wreath made out of straw or evergreen twigs, which has 4 candles. The wreath symbolizes endlessness, and the 4 candles symbolize different parts of history and life. The first candle, which is purple, represents creation and hope. The second candle, which is also purple, represents embodiment and peace. The third candle is pink, which is redemption and joy. And the fourth candle, which is purple, is ending and love. A fifth candle is sometimes added in the center, which is lit on Christmas Day. You can buy wreaths, but many people like to make them. People also have a paper Advent calendar. And as well as St. Catherine's Day, other saints' days are celebrated in Advent in Croatia. On December 4th, it's St. Barbara's Day. On December 6th, it's St. Nicholas's Day. On December 13th, it's St. Lucius or Lucy's Day. On December 5th, which is St. Nicholas Eve, children clean their shoes and boots and leave them in the window. They hope that St. Nicholas will leave them chocolates and small presents in their boots. On St. Lucius Day, people often sow wheat onto small plates. The grassy sprouts that grow, called Christmas wheat, are put underneath the Christmas tree on Christmas Eve. Christmas trees are very popular and are normally decorated on Christmas Eve. But some people put them up and decorate them on St. Nicholas's Day. In Croatia, they're traditionally decorated with ornaments in the shapes of fruits.
Really?
Yeah. They used to be real fruits or preserved candied fruits that were sometimes covered in gold.
Ooh.
Yeah, must have been nice.
Right?
There's a tree you can eat as you go throughout the holiday season. There's an old Croatian tradition that young men gave their girlfriends a decorated apple at Christmas.
Aww.
In rural parts of the country, it is still customary to bring straw into the house on Christmas Eve as a symbol of future good crops.
Wow.
A Yule log called a bajnik, also the word for Christmas Eve, was traditionally brought into the house and lit on Christmas Eve. Presents are normally exchanged on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. Most people likely like to go to a midnight mass service. It's a Catholic society mostly. Christmas Eve and Christmas Day are mostly celebrated with close family, kind of like here. On Boxing Day, which is very big in a lot of European countries, friends and extended family visit each other. On Christmas Eve, most people eat dried cod called baklar or some other kind of fish as it's considered as meat fast. The main Christmas Day meal is often turkey, goose, or duck. Kind of like here, too.
Kind of.
A popular side dish is sarma, which is cabbage rolls filled with minced pork meat.
Huh.
That actually sounds kind of good. I would try that. There's also lots of small cookies and cakes to eat, with donuts being very popular. There's krefni, which are filled with jam, jelly, marmalade, or chocolate. Ooh. And also frutilli, which are flavored with lemon and rum. I really am wanting to go to Croatia now. I'm really liking their Christmas food.
Right?
The Christmas celebrations finish on Epiphany, which is January 6th. So, kind of like Japan, where they go all the way into January for the New Year. I'm telling you. Anyways, Croatia's food sounds amazing.
Right?
I mean, I'm not sure about the fish, the dried fish, but, I mean, I'd give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you taking us next?
All the way down south to Australia.
Ah, the Socceroos. They unfortunately did not make the tournament. They didn't make it past the round. They got out of the round of six. They got out of group stage. They just didn't make it. Anyways.
I'm not
going to keep throwing in World Cup. I'm lying. I'm going to keep throwing in World Cup. Go ahead.
Of course you are. Okay. In Australia, Christmas comes in towards the beginning of the summer holidays. Children have their summer holidays from mid-December to early February. So some people might be even camping at Christmas. Some Australians hang wreaths on their front doors, and some people also go out Christmas carol singing on Christmas Eve. People also decorate their houses and gardens with Christmas trees and Christmas lights. Neighbors sometimes have little competitions to see who has the best light display.
Which is what Americans do.
The neighbors often visit each other to look at the light displays at night. Sometimes the displays are put out as early as December 1st. Kind of like here.
I was going to say, yeah. Still with the Americans.
One street in Sydney raises over $35,000 in Australian.
That's pretty cool, though.
Every year for charity with their coordinated street display.
So, like, the whole street gets together and puts on a huge display and a huge thing and to raise money for charity. That's cool.
That is cool. I've seen that happen before. States.
Yeah, there's places in the United States, but to think that someplace, you know,
Wall Street, Courtney?
Well, someplace in another country does the same thing. That's really cool. That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Some Australians also decorate their houses with branches of Christmas bush, a native Australian tree with small green leaves and cream-colored flowers. In the summer, the flowers turn a deep, shiny red over a period of weeks, generally by the week of Christmas in Sydney.
So it's like an Australian version of the poinsettia, maybe? That's what I'm kind of picturing. I might have to look it up, but anyways, go ahead.
Poinsettia plants are also popular plants.
Oh, okay.
Used as decorations. Another spectacular tree, which might be a flower at Christmas in Australia, is the jacaranda.
Okay.
It has bright blue, purple flowers.
That would be pretty.
Depending on where you live in Australia, it can flower from October into December. If you're really lucky, you might see some birds, like rosettas, which might even be more colorful.
Well, yeah, because like you said, their Christmas time for them is like their summer. Mm-hmm. So,
in each state capital city, there is a large carols by candlelight service. Famous Australian singers like the Wiggles, Anthony Wardlow, and Colin Gary, and Nikki Webster, and many others help sing the carols.
That's cool.
These carol services held in different cities are broadcast on TV across Australia. There are also huge Christmas pageants in each capital city that are also broadcast across the country. Most towns and cities have festivals and parades. In some places, there is also a fireworks display.
I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
Many towns and cities and schools also hold their own carols by candlelight services with local bands and choirs, sometimes helping to perform the Christmas carols and songs. As in the middle of summer in Australia, Christmas time, the words to the carols about snow and the cold winter sometimes change. Special Australian words. There are also some original Australian carols. when he gets to Australia, sometimes Santa gives the reindeers a rest and might use kangaroos. He also changes his clothes for less hot ones. Children often leave out carrots for Santa's reindeer. There might be some cake for Santa with some cold beer, but it's often non-alcoholic because Santa has to drive a sleigh.
I mean, God bless the Aussies, man.
Presents are normally exchanged between families on Christmas Day.
Santa loves the Aussies. They're leaving them beer. That's like...
On Boxing Day, most people go and visit their friends and often have barbecues at the beach. A famous yacht race from Sydney to Hobart is also held on Boxing Day. Another Boxing Day tradition is the Boxing Day cricket test match.
Yeah, they're big on cricket down there too.
It starts every year on Boxing Day and is held at the Melbourne Cricket Ground. On Christmas Day, the people who live in the outback sing Christmas greetings to each other over the radio network. Most families try to be home together for Christmas. The main meal is normally eaten at lunchtime. Most people now have a cold Christmas dinner or a barbecue with seafood such as prawns and lobsters along with the traditional English food.
I'm liking everybody's everybody's food so far is like so different. It's different, but it sounds really good.
On Christmas Eve, fish markets are often full of people queuing to buy their fresh seafood for Christmas Day.
Well, yeah, they're throwing that stuff.
Some people like to have the traditional Christmas pudding, but there might be also cold desserts like torlava and truffle. Australians often have Christmas crackers at Christmas mealtimes.
So the Australians...
Very different.
They're not super different. They got a lot of stuff that is very similar to what we have, but the Australians might be similar to... some people on Christmas have their meal, and you said they have it for, like, lunch.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of traditions in American households is not necessarily at supper time. It's, like, mid-afternoon, so yeah. That's kind of similar to the thing. I'm loving the idea of, like, their huge barbecue. Man, they go all out.
Barbecue, seafood.
So my next in my lineup that has made the semifinals... for the World Cup, is another Cinderella team. It is a Middle Eastern team, and that is the country of Morocco. So this one is a little bit different because Morocco is mostly a Muslim country. So they don't normally typically celebrate, you know, Christian holidays, which Christmas is a Christian holiday. But I did find some interesting information on it that I wanted to share. Does Morocco celebrate Christmas? The answer is no and yes. Outside of the big cities, you won't find any notion of Christmas.
Really?
Children go to school as normal. Most people have no idea that it is Christmas. Morocco is a majority Muslim country, and Christmas is not a Muslim holiday. So Morocco at Christmas is not a holiday. However, there is a large and growing foreign population in Morocco. And yes, there are Moroccan Christians, so Christmas does exist somewhat. If you're in a large city like Marrakech, Casablanca, or Rabat, you'll certainly find glimpses of the holiday. Keep in mind, in many cities like Marrakech, Christmas through New Year's is the high tourism season.
Really?
This means hotels are booked way in advance.
That's crazy.
If you want to have a traditional Christmas experience, stay in a bigger city like Marrakech, Agadir, Fez, or Rabat. Of all these places, Rabat is where you'll find the most sense of the holiday, due in large part to the number of foreign people who live and work there.
Wow.
So, what is Christmas like in Morocco? First, expect that most of the Christmas decorations and celebrations will have a European feel, which makes sense, as the majority of the foreigners that celebrate are from Europe. It's very common to find Christmas goodies like the Bûche Noël, which is a French Christmas cake, in regular Moroccan bakeries, festooned with Christmas wrapping, Santas and other Christmas-like decorations. Hotels and restaurants in bigger cities also will typically offer Christmas menus and sometimes special events related to the holidays.
Oh.
This is most typical with larger luxury and chain hotels mm-hmm. than the smaller, you know, mom-and-pop places. Yeah. Although the smaller places are starting to kind of join in now because they're seeing that, you know, hey, we can kind of get this tourism
mm-hmm.
and a lot of Europeans Americans, other people that celebrate Christmas, we can bring them in. There are no large Christmas markets in Marrakech or any other Moroccan cities. You may still find some small events hosted by churches or different, you know, foreign groups. If you are religious, don't think you'll be out of luck in Morocco. There are churches throughout the country. Owing to the Spanish and French influence, the majority of churches are Catholic. Meaning most of the Christian churches are Catholics.
Yeah.
So, if you want to see Christmas decorations, you'll need to get out of the Medinas and head to the new neighborhoods and shopping malls. And there you will be surprised to find Christmas window dressings, holiday lights, Christmas trees, and possibly even Santa.
Wow.
So, it is a Muslim country, so, you know, they're not going to celebrate it like, you know, kind of like Japan. It's not a holiday because it's just not a religious observance for them. Mm-hmm. But they are, you know, Japan's is kind of embracing some of the other things. So a lot of European and Westerners that are moving there or visiting or staying there temporarily are kind of bringing that. Mm-hmm. So there are some places and some influences that you can see. So I thought that was kind of cool that they at least had that.
That's pretty cool.
What do you have next?
Costa Rica. Christmas in Costa Rica comes at the end of the school year in the start of the holidays. So people are really looking forward to getting to the beach. People like to decorate their houses with beautiful tropical flowers.
I mean, that makes sense.
Of course, you're in the tropics. A model of the novelty scene called the Portal is the center of the display. It's also decorated with flowers and sometimes fruit. Some of the scenes take a long time to make, and all the family is involved. As well as the traditional figures, people at other models including houses and lots of sorts of animals. Christmas wreaths are made of cypress branches and are decorated with red coffee berries and ribbons. Most homes and shops and important buildings are decorated Christmas lights. In Costa Rica, a gift bringer called Niño Dios, Child God, meaning Jesus, and another name for Saint Nicholas. Apples are popular in the run up to Christmas with apple strands appearing the sides of the road. On Christmas Eve, everyone puts on their best clothes and goes to midnight mass. In Costa Rica, it's called the Miso de Gallo, Mass of the Rooster. It is also called that in Spain. After midnight mass, the main Christmas meal is eaten. It normally includes chicken and pork tamales that have been wrapped for cooking in plantain leaves. To drink, there's lots of eggnog and rum punch. During December and in January, there's a lot of fiestas, parties, parades, bull runs, and dance festivals. On the 26th of December, there is a traditional important horseback parade called the Tope. The next day, on the 27th, many towns and cities have carnival with a big parade featuring dancing and big floats.
That's kind of cool. They have a multi-day celebration. Mm-hmm. Again, listening to the food, it's just making me more and more hungry.
Because the eggnog rum punch.
Yeah, but you were talking about pork tamales.
And yeah.
That sounds amazing. All of it sounds amazing. So to continue on with the World Cup semifinals, the next team that made it into my list of countries is Argentina. In Argentina, the weather is warm at Christmas, like a lot of the countries we've done. Preparations for Christmas began very early in December and even in November. Many people in Argentina are Catholic, and they also celebrate Advent. Houses are beautifully decorated with lights and wreaths of green, gold, red, and white flowers. Red and white garlands are hung on the doors of houses. Christmas trees are also very popular, and they are often decorated by December 8th, which is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, when Catholics celebrate when Mary was conceived. Some people like to put cotton balls on the Christmas tree to represent snow.
What?
Well, it doesn't really snow in Argentina, so that's pretty much the closest they're going to get to snow, which is kind of cool. Artificial trees are far more common than real ones in Argentina. They can also come in different colors other than green, like white or blue. Same thing with here.
Mm-hmm.
The nativity scene, or pesebre, is also an important Christmas decoration in Argentina, just like Costa Rica. The nativity scene is put near the Christmas tree. Christmas cards aren't common in Argentina. And although some people give and receive presents, it's normally only between close family and friends. The main Christmas celebrations take place on Christmas Eve. Many Catholics will go to a Mass in the late afternoon. The main Christmas meal is eaten during the evening of Christmas Eve, often about 10 or 11 p.m.
Really?
Yeah.
That late?
Kind of seems like when Poland waits.
Oh, yeah.
It might be served in the garden or be a barbecue. Argentinians taking after the Aussies. Some popular dishes include roasted turkey, roasted pork. In northern Argentina, some people have goat. Vito Tone, which is slices of veal served with a creamy anchovy and tuna sauce. Stuffed tomatoes, salads, and lots of different sandwiches like pan de atún, which is special tuna sandwiches. Sandwiches de miga, which is sandwiches made of thin white bread without the crusts. They can be single, double, or multi-layered. And torre de panaques, which is a sandwich cake made from several layers or tortillas with different fillings. Again,
these foods
are getting
it's
to me.
It's making you hungry.
It is. Dessert can be Christmas bread and puddings like pan dulce when panettone, as well as fruit salad, ice cream, and different sorts of pies. There will also be sweets like chocolate raisins, sugar-coated peanuts, or almonds. Manticole, which is a semi-soft nougat made from peanut butter, and different kinds of turron, which is a hard nougat. At midnight, there will be sounds of lots of fireworks. So wow. They like the fireworks, too. People also like to toast the start of Christmas Day. Some people like to go to midnight services, but others prefer to stay at home and let off fireworks and then open their presents under the tree. So they don't even wait till Christmas morning.
No, they do it at night.
More people are also going to overnight parties and nightclubs as well now.
Oh.
Some children will hope that Papa Noel, which is means Father Christmas or Santa Claus, will bring their presents. Some will hope that El Niño Dios, the baby Jesus, will bring them. Both of those will probably bring Christmas or bring presents on Christmas Eve. However, some children will wait until Epiphany, which is the 6th of January again, and hope that the Reyes Magos, which is the three wise men, will bring their gifts. Another Christmas Eve night tradition are globos, which are paper decorations with a light inside that float into the sky, kind of like Chinese lanterns. The sky is filled with them on Christmas Eve after midnight. That'd be really cool to see.
That would be.
Some people stay awake all night chatting and seeing friends and family and then spend lots of Christmas days sleeping.
Wow.
Like, I'm down with
so
like some
Christmas days are Christmas.
So Christmas, yeah, Christmas Eve is kind of like, and it's a all-night celebration, right? Celebrate. Anyways, some people may go to Mass again in the morning or late afternoon on Christmas Day, and there will be lots of yummy leftovers to eat.
Next place, Philippines. The people in Philippines like to celebrate Christmas as long as possible.
I mean, I am already liking the Philippines.
The playing Christmas carols in shops can start in September.
Good Lord, I'm not liking the Philippines. No.
The formal Christmas celebrations start on December 16th.
Could you imagine hearing Mariah Carey for 4 or 5 months straight?
When many people go to the first 9 pre-dawn or early morning mass. So they have 9 masses.
In the morning?
Yeah, so there's for 9 days straight.
Forget all that.
The last mass is on Christmas Day.
No. All right. Sorry, Philippines. You had me at the long party celebration, but you got me there.
The Christmas celebrations continue to the first Sunday in January when the Epiphany? Yeah. Or the Feast of the Three Kings is celebrated.
Okay.
Just like.
Seems like a very common occurrence with a lot of Catholic countries.
In the Philippines, the early masses held before Christmas are called the Misa de Gallo.
Again.
Or Simabang Gabby in the Filipino. Most Filipinos are Christians, with 80% of people being Catholics. It's the only Asian caste country with so many Christians. Because of this, Christmas is the most important holiday in the Philippines. December is actually one of the cooler months of the year in Philippines. The Philippines only has 2 real seasons, wet June to October and dry April and May. December is one of the months in between the wet and dry seasons. Christmas customs in the Philippines are a mix of Western and native Filipino traditions. Christianity became known in the Philippines in the 1500s. So, people in the Philippines have Santa Claus, Christmas trees, Christmas cards, and Christmas carols from Western countries. They also have their own Christmas tradition, such as the Purim, which is a bamboo pole or frame with a light of star lantern on it. It's traditionally made from bamboo strips and colored Japanese paper or cell phone paper and represents the star that guided the wise men. It is the most important Christmas decoration in the Philippines. Christmas Eve is very important also. Many people stay awake all night into Christmas Day. During Christmas Eve evening, Christians go to church to hear the last Simbang Gambi or the Christmas Eve Mass. This is followed by a midnight feast called Noche Buena. The Noche Buena is a big open house celebration with family, friends, and neighbors dropping in to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. Most households would have several dishes laid out and would normally include roasted pig, ham, fruit salads, rice cakes, and other sweets, and steamed rice and many types of drinks. One very special person who helps people in Philippines celebrate Christmas is Santa R. Kama Claus. He's a Filipino citizen in his 70s and is of Irish descent. He has been spreading Christmas cheer among the poor children by dressing up as Santa Claus during charity missions and corporate events in poor areas of the Philippines for over 50 years. He has a giant motor sleigh and air conditioner bus that is used in many missions all over the Philippines.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Santa R. Kama Claus owns the Philippines' only reindeer farm. This farm is open to the public for free.
My fourth one is the fourth and final team in the semifinals for the World Cup. And this is... France. In France, a nativity crib is often used to help decorate the house. French cribs have clay figures in them. During December, some towns and cities, such as Marseille, have fairs that sell nativity figurines.
Wow.
As well as having the normal nativity figurines in them, French scenes also have figurines such as butchers, a baker, a policeman, and a priest. One of the biggest Christmas markets in Europe is held in Strasbourg in northeastern France.
Wow.
Yule logs made out of cherry wood are often burned in French homes. And an old tradition is that the log was carried into the home on Christmas Eve and sprinkled with red wine to make the log smell nice when it was burning.
Mm.
Like, I'm down with that. There is a custom that the log and candles are left burning all night with some food and drinks left out in case Mary and the baby Jesus come past during the night.
Wow.
In France, Father Christmas, Santa Claus, Saint Nicholas is called Père Noël, meaning Father Christmas. The main Christmas meal called Réveillon is eaten on Christmas Eve early Christmas morning after people have returned from the midnight church service. Again, obviously a lot of Catholic. Dishes might include roast turkey with chestnuts or roast goose, oysters, foie gras, lobster, venison, and cheeses. For dessert, a chocolate sponge cake log called, and I'm going to probably say this, Bûche de Noël is normally eaten. Another celebration in some parts of France is that 13 different desserts are eaten.
13?
All the desserts are made from different types of fruits, nuts, and pastries. Epiphany is also celebrated in France on January 6th. It seems to be a running theme with the places mm-hmm. that we chose. And we chose these places mostly, well, you chose yours at random, kind of.
Yeah, I did.
A flat cake or tart made with a puff pastry and almond cream is eaten. The cake traditionally has a fave baked inside it or put in the cream on the top.
Mm.
The fave was originally a bean, often made from porcelain, ceramic, or metal. Now it can be a little crown, a figure, or other shapes or small ornaments. And it is usually decorated on top with a gold paper crown. If you find the fave, you wear the paper crown and are meant to bring the dessert the next year.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, basically they make this cake. And in the cake is... So when you make, like, these pastries, right?
Yeah.
In one of them, what it's saying is in one of them is you put, like, this figurine or small bean. And whoever gets it
That's gonna get next year.
Where's the crown? Because they won, but yeah. you won by having to make the same cake the following year for everybody.
Oh my gosh. That's insane.
Yeah. What's your last one?
Bulgaria.
Yeah, we had to throw in an Eastern European one. We never really talked. Well, no, never mind. We will get to eventually Eastern European countries on some things.
In Bulgaria, Christmas is celebrated on December 25th. Many countries in Eastern Europe celebrate Christmas on January 7th, as most Orthodox Church uses the old Julian calendar, but the Bulgarian Orthodox Church uses the Gregorian calendar, so Christmas is on the 25th. Many Bulgarians start their preparations, and it starts with the Avant, which lasts 40 days in the Orthodox Church. Starts on November 15th. One legend in Bulgaria is that Mary started her labor on December 20th, which is St. Ignatius of Antioch Day, and she gave birth on Christmas Eve, but the birth of Jesus wasn't announced until Christmas Day.
I can understand that thought.
The 20th is also the traditional New Year in Bulgarian culture. It's traditional to eat a special ring-shaped cake called kolaks on this day. Christmas Eve, called Bundy Vecher, is a very important day, and the main Christmas meal is eaten in the evening of Christmas Eve. The meal should traditionally have an odd number of dishes in it, normally 7, 9, or 11, and an odd number of people sitting around the table. Salt, pepper, and sugar can count as separate dishes.
Weird. Interesting.
Straw is often put under the tablecloth. You might even bring a wooden plow into the house and put it in behind the door. These are meant to help you have good crops during the next year. There's a special round and decorated loaf of bread called pita, which has a coin baked into it.
Similar to what the French do.
Mm-hmm. If you find the good, you're meant to have good luck for the next year. The bread is normally cut by the oldest person at the meal, and they hand it around the table. It is normally a rich vegan meal, includes dishes made of different, such as bean soup, sarmay, cabbage leaves stuffed with rice, pepper stuffed with rice, boiled wheat with sugar and walnuts, different kinds of pastries, some kolaks, lots of fruits and nuts like dried plums, apricots, oranges, and tangerines, and also a dried fruit. But it's only after midnight that dishes with non-vegan ingredients are served and eaten. These will include foods like panista, a pastry filled with yogurt and feta cheese, and baklava, a dessert made of phyllo pastry that's filled with chopped nuts and soaked with syrup and honey.
Yes, it is. Oh,
that sounds so good.
I want me some baklava. I love baklava.
Walnuts are especially popular.
Yeah.
If your walnut is delicious, you will have a good year. But if it's empty or has a small nut, you'll have a bad year. It is tradition that the table is left with all the food on it until morning of Christmas Day. Some people think their ancestors might like something to eat during the night. On Christmas Day, some families will have another big meal, but this time there will be meat and normally some kind of pork. Following the Christmas Eve meal, some people will go to a midnight mass service. You might also hear Kordori carol singers, which are normally young men who go carol singing dressed in traditional clothing. The singing can only start after midnight. The singers often go around singing all night, so the sun never catches them. When they reach a house, they sing the house song, praising and wishing the house well. Having the Kordori visit your home is meant to be good luck. The songs are often in two parts, with half of the singers singing the song and the other half repeating it back. After the singing, the head of the house will give the Kordori food to thank them for the singing. The special foods will include Kordori Dvici, which are round buns, and panista, a layered pastry filled with cheese. Christmas trees are now popular in Bulgaria, and towns are decorated Christmas lights. Some people will still have the traditional Yule log normally from an oak, elm, or pear tree, which is brought into the house on Christmas Eve. Santa is known as Grandfather Christmas.
That's kind of cool. It seems like Bulgaria has a lot of very specific traditions.
Mm-hmm.
Very intrigued by the reason for the odd number, like the odd number of dishes with the odd number of people. That's very intriguing.
And they go from vegan to non-vegan.
I mean, that's kind of cool. It's kind of, I guess it'd be kind of like maybe a fasting.
Yeah.
Is what it's kind of doing. So that's kind of cool, though.
Definitely different.
Again, the foods are still sounding amazing.
I know.
Because, like, all of them are sounding, even
the desserts.
I mean, I'm not vegan, but those dishes sounded really good. And I can kind of see, to give a little historical or cultural, not cultural, but geographical, most of Bulgaria throughout time has been a little bit more poorer, and it's a lot more country and rural. So I could see a lot of the vegan dishes because you have more of that. You have more beans, you have more rice, you can afford. You can feed larger families because a lot of Bulgarians, like Romanians and stuff like that, were farming communities.
Yeah.
So you had large families in order to help run your farm. And so, yeah, beans, rice, things like that, wheat, you can buy a bunch of that and feed more people at a cheaper price than it is to buy beef or pork. You know, that was a little bit more of a luxury item. So I could kind of see the tradition of that being more, you know, hey, we're celebrating with, you're kind of getting full on the cheaper stuff. And then we're going to do something special after midnight where then we'll do the more expensive stuff. So, I like it. I mean, it makes sense to me.
They're very, like, set on our traditions.
It seems to me of everything, theirs is almost, out of everybody so far, like, theirs is, like, specific. Like, this is what you do at this time. A lot of people have some tradition, but theirs is, like,
strict.
Odd number of dishes with an odd number of people.
And, like, salt and pepper is the...
The oldest person is the one who cuts the bread and does this. I mean, it's kind of cool.
It's weird, like, they have the salt and pepper as a separate dish.
I mean, if you're trying to count dishes and you only have so many dishes.
True.
And, like, so if your other dishes are all of an even number, then you can be like, and there's the pepper. So, all right. For my last one, which was going to be your last one, but I'm going to do it since it was a little bit difficult for you. We said before, I'm going to do Germany. And I know my theme was World Cup. No, Germany's not in the semifinals. They didn't even make it out of group stage. Sorry, Germany. Anyways, a big part of the Christmas celebrations in Germany is, guess what? Advent. Several different types of Advent calendars are used in German homes. As well as the traditional one made out of card that are used in many countries, there are ones made out of a wreath of fir tree branches with 24 decorated boxes or bags hanging from it. And each box or bags has a little present in it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Another type is called an Adventkranz, which is a ring of fir branches that has four candles on it. And like Croatia. This is like the Advent calendars sometimes used in churches. One candle is lit at the beginning of each week in Advent, which is each week in Christmas time. Christmas trees are very important in Germany. They were first used in Germany during the late Middle Ages. If there are young children in the house, the trees are usually secretly decorated by the mother of the family.
Really?
Yeah. The Christmas tree was traditionally brought into the house on Christmas Eve.
Wow.
So, Dad would bring the tree in, kids would go to bed, Mom would secretly decorate the tree while the kids were in bed, and they got to see it Christmas morning. Some parts of Germany, during the evening, the family would read the Bible and sing Christmas songs, such as O Tannenbaum, Kinderlein, Kommet, and Still Nacht, which is Silent Night. Silent Night is German. Very, very beautiful song. Sometimes wooden frames covered with colored plastic sheets and with electric candles inside are put in windows to make the house look pretty from the outside. There is also the tradition of paper cutting where Christmas shapes like bells and nativity scenes were cut out of paper and then different colored transparent paper was put behind the openings to make them look like stained glass. Christmas Eve is the main day when Germans exchange presents with their families. Christmas Day is called First Celebration, and the 26th of December is known as Second Celebration. This is another day off work, and is like Boxing Day in the UK and some other countries. Germany is well known for its Christmas markets, where all sorts of Christmas foods and decorations are sold. If you want to go to a real Christmas market, go to ones in Germany. Mm. Like, they are like the original, and they are huge. Perhaps the most famous German decorations are glass ornaments. The glass ornaments were originally hand-blown glass and were imported into the United States in the 1880s by the Woolworth stores. The legend of the glass, here we go again, Christmas pickle, is famous in the USA, but it's that, a legend. Most people in Germany have never heard of the Christmas pickle.
Really?
Even though, remember we said, like, people want to try to say it goes back to Germany, but it's not. Traditional wooden decorations such as nutcrackers are also popular. In some parts of Germany, mainly the southeast of the country, children write to the Das Christkind, or Christkind, asking for presents. The letters to the Christkind are decorated with sugar glued to the envelope to make them sparkly and attractive to look at. Children leave the letters on the windowsill at the beginning of Advent, and Das Christkind translates to the Christ Child in English. But Germans don't think of the Christkind as the baby Jesus.
Really?
So don't get confused. The Christkind is often described as a young girl with Christ-like qualities. In Nuremberg, a young girl is chosen every year to participate in a parade as the Christkind. She wears a long white and gold dress, has long blonde curly hair, and wears a gold crown and sometimes wings like an angel. This is similar to St. Lucia in Sweden. The Nuremberg Christkind officially opens the Christmas market on the Friday before Advent starts. And before Christmas, she has over 150 official duties,
wow,
including visiting hospitals, old people's homes, and children's nurseries. She also has to give TV interviews and visit other cities. Santa Claus, or Father Christmas, brings the main Christmas presents on December 24th, just like here. And some people say that Santa, or Father Christmas, brings the presents, and some say it is the Christkind.
Hmm.
As well as hoping for presents from Christkind or Father Christmas, some children also hope that Der Nikolaus will bring you some small gifts, such as sweets and chocolate, on December 6th, which is St. Nicholas's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we're hearing a lot of Catholic.
Yep.
He comes in the night between the 5th and 6th and puts the presents into the shoes of children, who usually place them by their doors. Remember, we heard that before?
Was it in Norway?
Yeah. He might also knock on the door, and the children will have to sing a song, play a song on an instrument, or tell a story to St. Nicholas before he gives them their presents. So, he wants the kids to be a bard.
That's funny.
That's kind of cool. At small workplaces and school parties, secret presents are often exchanged. Basically like a secret Santa.
Mm-hmm.
But this is how they do it. This is kind of weird. This is kind of cool, though. Sometimes a door is opened just wide enough for small presents to be thrown into the room. The presents are then passed around among the people until each person has the correct present. It is thought to be bad luck to find out who sent each present.
Wow.
So, Secret Santa might also be known as Witchel. A Wichtel is a small Christmas gnome or elf where you give sometimes a small gift or do something nice for them. Another tradition is the Sternsinger or Star Singers, who go from house to house, sing a song, and collect money for charity. This is a predominantly Catholic tradition. But it sounds like the Bulgaria guys, where they go around and sing and you just feed them.
Right.
I like the Bulgarian guys, because they go around, you like feed them food. You sing, mm-hmm, and you get food. The singers are normally four children, three who dress up like the wise men, and one carries a star on a stick as a symbol for the Star of Bethlehem.
Cute.
When they're finished singing, they write a signature with chalk over the door of the house. The sign is written in a special way. So, for this year, 2022 would be 20, then it would be C, then the letter M, the letter B, and then 22. It is considered to be bad luck to wash the sign away, though. It has to fade by itself.
Wow.
It has usually faded by the 6th of January, which is Epiphany. The Sternsingers visit houses between December 27th and January 6th. And for the food, carp or goose are often served for the main Christmas meal. Stollen is a popular fruited yeast bread that is also eaten at Christmas in Germany. Again, I am just loving every place's food. It's all so different. There are some things that are common that you see a lot of, but each country each region has its own style of foods and different stuff. They have their own traditional, they have their own change on things. But all of it sounds amazing.
Right.
It sounds so amazing. Like, I'm practically drooling when we're talking about all these different places.
I know.
From, like, the turkeys and the roast and the goose and the duck. And then you got all the different pastries. And you got the Aussies. And would you say the Costa Rica? They also like to do the barbecues.
Right.
And the all nice. It's great, man. I think that the United States, the U.S., we've lost a lot of that really cool tradition that we used to do. The holidays used to be a lot bigger than what it was.
Yeah, it's not as big anymore.
And that's sad because, to me, I love the holidays. You know I love.
I know you know.
Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, man, is like our, that's our season, is those 3 months. We love going all out for them. And these countries, I just love that they have all these amazing traditions. And I love just hearing about them. So, what was the most interesting one for you?
There's a lot. I say Japan was the most interesting.
With the KFC?
Yeah.
I mean, I already knew that one because of, that was just a fun fact that I kind of knew about. But KFC was very smart, man. They saw a chance. It was, I think the story goes is they noticed that Japan was starting to celebrate the holidays. Mm-hmm. But Japan didn't have that tradition already set in, so they didn't have it like a lot of other countries had these traditions for years. Mm-hmm. And KFC saw an opportunity and just blasted the whole country with a huge campaign ad, and it worked.
Yes.
And now, to this day, Japan is KFC.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I know that I've read that you have to order weeks, months in advance to make sure that you have food from KFC. Yeah, I really had fun. I really like this one. I like the facts that we did and all the different stuff. I like that we did hot chocolate tonight. Next week, we will be doing part two. Part two is going to be a little bit more on the darker side of Christmas. So what happens when you're not good and what can possibly bring about. So can't wait for that. We have a different specialty drink that we're not going to say. We won't be drinking hot chocolate or coffee. We'll tell you that. We've got another holiday drink that we're going to be drinking that day. So with that, thanks for listening to Ohio Family on the Run podcast. If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll share us with your friends and colleagues. And please, don't forget to leave us a positive review. You can check us out on Instagram, Ohio Family on the Run, and Twitter at family_on_the_run.
Or send us an email at ohfamilyontherun@gmail.com. Also, if you have any suggestions or ideas for future episodes, let us know.
Until next week, this is Scott.
And Christina.